I wanted to read something because I promised Mom I would. She's never given me quite such a hard job, so here we go. In this world, there are fighters. However, the bravest and the strongest and the most courageous of all are warriors. My mama was a warrior. In the midst of her battle with cancer, she was more concerned with those of us that she loved than with her own battle. She showed unselfish, unconditional love to us in all the ways she always did. But somehow, while in the fight of her life, my mama found a deeper love for us all. As her battle grew more fierce, so did her wisdom in all things. Her faith never once faltered, but became stronger, almost childlike in its beauty. Mama's sense of humor and her gentle spirit and her sweet smile radiated like sunshine. Her ability to care for others and to be grateful for the smallest of blessings became sweeter. Her actions became more deliberate. And her soul became more beautiful. Mama never complained. She never felt self-pity. And she never would ever entertain defeat. Did I mention that my mama was a warrior? Like her mama before her, my mama was an extraordinary woman. Through example, they both exemplified simple elegance and true Southern hospitality. She taught my sister, my daughter, and I how to be a mama, not just a mother. Our family traditions and celebrations were both special and enduring because of my grandma and my mama. James, and Jessica, and Taylor, and Sarah, and Andrea, and little baby Caroline all called her Mimi. So did all her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. They loved her, and she spoiled them rotten, and loved them right back. Their lives were richer because of their Mimi. Mama gave them memories to last a lifetime, as she did for all of us. She was a warrior with the most gentle heart and the most kind and giving spirit. Words cannot express how much we'll all miss Mama. With her, she takes a part of us, and with us, she leaves a part of her. I can't help but imagine the celebration in heaven as Grandma and Pa welcomed Baby, as they called her. And I'm sure that my sweet Dave will be right by their side with that beautiful, shy, sweet smile of his. Aunt Mary and Uncle Peter Ramage will call her Cousin Bessie. And I'm willing to bet Uncle Jack will have Aunt Catherine make her an apple pie whether she wants it or not. While Anina's cutting flowers that Grandma planted in heaven, had almost bet that James and Ert are out there flying a remote control airplane, the kind that won't even crash, all celebrating her homecoming. And I'm sure my Sally and my Polly are putting a white tablecloth on a long table to lay out all the food. My mama loved Myra like a sister. The stories of the two of them that were told, well, it's a wonder they still aren't in trouble with their mamas today. The way they would laugh when they got together still hangs in the air somewhere, I'm sure. Polly Ann was her twin sister, and sweet Julie became her third daughter. My mama loved my daddy. He was her first love, he was her only love. He was her best friend, and she was his. While mama was not afraid of dying, and she was ready to go to heaven to see everybody, Mama told me more than once that she loved life. Mama's only regret in leaving this world were the things she would miss, not getting to enjoy, like Gabriel's milestones and James's wedding, and watching Jessica's family grow and sharing Mary's adventures with her farm on Aunt Mary's place, watching Mary's girls grow up and following Donnie's progress as he improves every day in therapy. But the thing Mama worried about the most and the thing she would miss the most was Daddy. Mama's biggest celebration day will be a hard day for those of us who loved her, because she spent her life celebrating and creating memories for all of us, and that's the gift she leaves us. Mama's strength and courage and her faith, her humor and her unconditional love is her legacy. She loved all of us in here in a special way, and Mama's heart was so big that she could always make us each feel like we had to be her favorite. And in that spirit, I'm sure my mama would want me to thank you all for the love you always showered upon her. My mama would be honored and humbled to see everybody here today. And most of all, she'd want us to celebrate, not to mourn. Mama told my Jessica in her first hospital visit, she said, "Jessica, it's your job to make sure nobody mucks around. I want my funeral to be just a party." So Mama's passed the torch to us, and in her memory and in her honor, we'll carry it high, we'll carry it proud, till we see Mama again on the other side. Mama was a beautiful warrior. Now our sweet Mama is a beautiful angel.
Sharing the obituary, Sarah Alice Templeton Coldland, age 76, 451 Templeton Road, passed away Saturday, April the 9th, 2016, at her home. She was born in Lawrence and was the daughter of the late James Edwin and Nancy Stone Adair Templeton. Mrs. Copeland was retired from the business office of Lawrence School District 55 and was a member of Leesville Southern Methodist Church. Surviving are her husband of 57 years, Don Copeland of the home, a son, William Don Copeland III of Lawrence, two daughters, Nancy Copeland Anderson of Clinton, and Mary Copeland Myers of Lawrence, seven grandchildren, six great-grandchildren. The family will receive friends following the memorial service at the church. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Leesville Southern Methodist Church, 2021 A.B. Jacks Road, Clinton, South Carolina. By request, I'm going to be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity or love. And as one of Alice's former ministers, I'd like to just share a few things from my own association with her and her family. Sir Alice was not pretentious. She was always the same no matter where you saw her or what she was doing. Sometimes she played the piano here in the church if she was needed. She taught Sunday school on occasions. She was faithful to attend the church. In these last several months, I'm sure there were some Sundays when she really didn't feel like coming. But because she loved God and loved the congregation here and loved this church, she would be here as often as she felt like coming. Sir Alice was an example to the younger women of the church. And I think sometimes some of those who were some years younger than Sarah Alice would go to her for counsel and get some answers to questions which they had. She was certainly a very friendly person. To me, one of the most commendable things about Sarah Alice, she told me several years back when I was pastoring this church, she said, I promised my mom and my dad that I would give up my job to take care of them so they would not have to be institutionalized. And she kept her word. I don't know of anybody else who's ever done that. Probably some others may have. I just don't have a personal knowledge of that. In Proverbs chapter 31, in answering the question, who can find a virtuous woman, one of the attributes that the Bible says about a virtuous woman, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. And I know Sarah Alice loved her family greatly. She did a lot for her family. She cooked a lot of meals. I enjoyed a few there. But she certainly looked well after the ways of her household. Sarah Alice was a great person. She was very friendly. Most importantly, after all other things could be said about her, she was a Christian lady. She realized somewhere in the past that she was a sinner, that she needed Jesus to come into her heart, forgive her of her sins, and save her soul. And she did that. And she was a very dedicated Christian. And Sir Alice will certainly be missed by her immediate family. She will be missed by our church family here, by others in the community. Obviously, all who are here knew her in some relationship or capacity, and I'm sure you will miss her as well. But the wonderful hope is this is not the end. The best is yet to come when Jesus comes in the air to receive his bride, the church, unto himself. And those who have died in faith in him will be changed. And those of us who may be living when that happens, we will be changed in a moment of the twinkling of an eye. And we'll be caught up to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever throughout all of eternity. There'll be no more death and the sorrow and the parting. And we'll just have a glorious time together throughout all of eternity, worshiping God together, fellowshipping together, and praising God for his great goodness and his plan of redemption for us. So thank you for coming today, and I pray that God will bless you and bless especially Don and his children and grandchildren and all of their needs. Let's pause for prayer. Father, we do give you thanks for your grace, your love. Thank you for your plan of salvation. Thank you that no matter what we have done in our past, you are willing to forgive us if we will acknowledge our sins and by faith trust in you. I give you thanks for Sarah Alice and the privilege to have been a minister for a number of years and to be a friend to each other. Thank you for her family. Continue to bless and undergird and comfort them by your Holy Spirit. Continue to bless this time together as we commit it to you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi. So, like my mom said before, I flew back for one of Mimi's liver operations. And I remember she had just come back from surgery and she was laying there and she was a little bit loopy. But she was joking around like she always did, you know, making light of the situation. And I remember her looking at me and saying, when my time comes, I want you to be in charge and making sure that you can lighten the situation. Because I don't want a bunch of people in a building moping around. I want a party. And obviously, I'm not going to guarantee I can give anybody a party here because I'm not up for that task. But I just want to say that I think that we're here today just to celebrate her life. That is a beautiful thing because it was a beautiful life, and all of us here know and loved her for the person that she was. And with that said, I'm going to try not to cry and be positive here. And my Aunt Mary has picked out some verses that she'd like me to read. So I'm going to read those. Sorry, they're on the phone. So the first is from Romans 14:8, and it says, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." The second is from Revelation 21:4, and it says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And finally, the third verse is from Psalm 34:18, and it's, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." So I think these three verses are a good recap of how some of us are feeling and how she may have felt in her final days. And this is a nice promise of things to come as well. So I think that she would have enjoyed this service, and what Mom said, obviously, I think that's a good reflection of how we all feel. And I'm going to attempt to spend the rest of the night celebrating her rather than mourning, although I think those two things can easily go together. But she was a great woman, and I think that's why we're all here today, to celebrate that fact.
I've just discovered that through modern technology, you can go online and even look for the home of your dreams. Once you narrow it down to where you think you want to live, you can take a virtual tour and you can do a walkthrough, even if that home is in another county. Well, that's a little bit what happened to John the Apostle back 2,000 years ago. He had a special internet hookup, and even though he was exiled to Patmos, which was a small island in the Mediterranean Sea, God gave him a virtual tour of heaven. And he wrote down what he saw. He says in Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, or crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he also said, 'Write this down, for these words are true and trustworthy.'" Very quickly, let's take a virtual tour of what John saw 2,000 years ago. Heaven is a place of holiness. No sin can enter heaven. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When Sarah Alice was a young girl, she trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And her name was never blotted out because she kept the faith to the very end. Heaven is a place of holiness. It is a place of security. And to first century people, they understood that as a walled community. The Bible tells us that the wall around heaven is high, and that an angel stands on guard at each of the 12 gates. The devil can never access heaven. nor can anything cowardly or unbelieving or vile, no murderer, no immorality, no occult, no idolatry, no lie can ever enter heaven. But heaven is also a place of rest. As we continue to see through John's eyes, John says there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. We will rest. The curse of sin will be broken. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more disease. There will be no more liver cancer. And there will be no more need for chemotherapy. Heaven is a place that's filled with music. I heard a sound from heaven like a roar of rushing water, like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was that of harpists playing on their harps, and they sang a new song. As we go through this virtual tour of heaven that John describes, we're bombarded with music. You know, there's 14 hymns in the book of Revelation. It refers to trumpets. 6 times it refers to harps. You ought to go just to hear the music. And of course, that's what she's doing. Heaven will also be a blaze of light and color. Light emanates from the throne of God, and it is diffused through the rainbow that encircles that throne. That light bounces off streets of gold. It reflects off a sea of glass. It sparkles off gates of pearl. Factor in that the walls themselves are constructed of jasper and built on a foundation composed of precious stones that are in various colors, such as blue and green and red and yellow. Can you just imagine? Those are all the primary colors. As they overlap, they create all the secondary colors. Heaven is a blaze of beautiful light. And she's there. Enjoy it. Heaven is a place of reward. And Jesus said, my reward is with me. I give it to everyone according to what he has done. Let me say it like this. I believe in heaven, everyone's cup of joy will be full, but some people will have bigger cups than others. And Sarah Alice, I think, will have a gallon drum. She won't have just a little teacup. But she will have a large cup reflecting a life of unselfish service. She'll be there in paradise. She'll have access to the tree of life and the 12 varieties of fruit that it bears. And of course, the Bible also says the leaves of that tree are for healing. That's better than any other remedy for the ailments of this human body. Heaven is a place of reunion. She'll hobnob with the likes of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. She'll fellowship with her departed family. But most of all, she'll see the face of God. Pastor LeGrand read those climactic words at the end of 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, by the way, exemplifies her life. And I would suggest that you could take out the word charity and put in the word Sarah Alice. And as you read through 1 Corinthians 13, that describes her virtue and her personality. But that chapter ends with these words, that we will see him as he is. 1 John 3, 2 says, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. She has looked for the first time on the face of her Lord. In the last chapter of Revelation, John promises they will see his face. And really, all of the other things are just sideshows in comparison with seeing our Lord. I'm here to tell you that heaven is for real, and Sarah Alice is there. You may not have read the book. You may not have seen the movie. You may wish you could have some FaceTime. You may wish you could Google your own virtual tour on the internet. But while all of that is not possible, the good news is you can join her there in person. And I think if she could say one thing to her grieving husband and family today, I think she would simply say, "I wish you were here." And by the grace of God, you can be. Now, I know that that sounds good, but deep within our hearts, there's a little reservation, there's a little hesitancy. And I think I know what's going through your mind right now. You're probably saying to yourself, "Well, she deserved heaven, but I don't." Well, that's half true. The real truth is no one deserves heaven, not even Sarah Alice. But she was made worthy by the grace of God. That's what grace is. And what grace did to transform her from a sinner to a saint, that same grace can do the same transforming work in your life. Yes, we were all born sinners, but God has enough grace that every one of us can die saints. I hope I'm not misunderstood. What I'm saying is, Sarah Alice was not always the saint you knew her to be. That was the maturing grace of God. And if you'll invite God's grace into your life, He can start that process. Now, for most of us, we're a long ways from where she was. But that's all the more reason that we invite God to begin to make us like Himself. It was the year 1952, and one of the most famous radio evangelists of that era, a man by the name of Dr. Charles Fuller, announced the following week that he would be preaching on heaven. A close colleague by the name of Harry Rimmer was at the point of death and wrote Fuller this letter, and I want to close with this. Harry Rimmer writes to Dr. Charles Fuller, "Next Sunday you are to talk about heaven. I'm interested in that land because I have held a clear title to a bit of property there for over 50 years. I did not buy it. It was given to me without money and without price, but the donor purchased it at a tremendous sacrifice. I am not holding it for speculation since the title is not transferable. It is not a vacant lot, for I have been sending materials out of which the greatest architect and builder of the universe has been building a home for me, which will never need remodeling or repair, because it will suit me perfectly individually and will never grow old. I hope to hear your sermon on heaven next Sunday, but I have no assurance I shall be able to do so. My ticket to leave has no date marked for the journey, no return passage, and no permit for baggage. Yes, I am ready to go, and I may not be here while you're talking next Sunday evening, but I will meet you there someday." Now, the irony is that by the time Dr. Fuller received the letter, Harry Rimmer had already made the transition. And it kind of is fitting because we weren't through talking and praying and fellowshipping with Sarah Alice. But her ride came and she's gone. We can't bring her back, nor would we want to in her present physical state. But the good news is that while she cannot return to us, we can go to be with her. And so, that's the hope. Now, you may say, "Well, it's fitting for her, but not for me." Now, just remember, grace can make you all that God wants you to be. In just a moment, we're going to stand for the benediction. And let me explain that then the immediate family will stay seated on the first row. As you're able to vacate this side room, we want the extended family to just kind of spread out into the side room. I know everyone wants to express their love and their condolences, and we don't want anyone to feel smothered. We don't want anyone to feel rushed. If you're not able to stay, you can slip out the front doors. But after I pronounce the benediction, the ushers will come, and once everyone is situated, we will try to at least create a traffic pattern that just moves one way so that we'll not be on top of each other. But we do invite you to greet the family, and the ushers will be in charge after the benediction. Let's now stand and bow our heads and hearts as we go to the Lord in prayer. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. In moments like this, when we're shaken to our very foundation, we thank you we have a faith that holds. And we thank you that we have a God that is real. We thank you that we believe the scripture that is true. And we thank you that we have the assurance of the Holy Spirit that heaven is for real and that Sarah Alice is there. The Lord, I pray that whatever it takes, may that circle be unbroken. May every son and daughter, may every grandchild and to the third and the fourth generation, we pray that your Holy Spirit will rest upon the Copeland family. And by the grace of God, there's no one too good but what needs salvation, but neither is there anyone too sinful but what cannot be transformed and made into a saint. And so may your blessings rest on every one of us. Lord, I feel almost like this in a few moments. We'll be back in the fast track of life. It's almost, instead of me saying amen, it almost feels like I'm saying on your mark, get set, go. And it almost feels like that we've been here in the rest area. We've been looking at the map. And now in a few minutes, we'll accelerate in the fast lane of life. Lord, I pray for every person here that when we get where we're going, we will be where we want to be. Some of us are so wrapped up in getting there that we have lost our sense of direction and don't know where we're headed. Lord, may the simple faith of Sarah Alice Copeland give us direction. And Lord, if we've been on a detour, if we somehow turned onto a back road, help us to get on the right road and help us to make the commitment before we ever leave in the silence of these moments. Help us to resolve that by the grace of God, we'll be a part of that grand reunion there someday. This we pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.